This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Gaze podcast. You can hear us live on Joy 94.9 Saturday afternoon from noon via the live stream at joy.org.au/listen live. Or tune your wireless in Melbourne to 94.9 FM.
1, 2, 3, 4. I use it, break it, fix it, trash it, change it, nail it, grade it, change it, point it to impress it, snap it, work it, cook it, erase it, write it, cut it, paste it, save it, load it, check it, quickly write it, plug it, play it, burn it, rip it, drag it, drop it, tip and zip it, rock it.
This is Joy 94.9, TechnoGaze 2.1 In-Car Edition.
In-Car Edition.
Yes, where we gaze into the world of consumer electronics, gadgets and technology. I'm Michael and that, of course, is Raina.
Hi.
Hi. Now, we're not in the studio.
No, as you would have just heard, we are down here at Mercedes-Benz Berwick down on Princes Highway.
518 Princes Highway.
518. And people are wandering in, checking things out. Jeez, there are so many beautiful cars here. And it's a great room as well.
It's a wonderful space. Lots of shiny bling.
I do like a bit of shiny bling. It's very special. We're really pleased to be here.
Now, on the show today, We are going to kick off with a roundup of the latest tech news, including Poodle.
Poodle. Mm. Sounds like fun, isn't really.
No, and it's not a little fluffy dog.
No.
The latest SSL vulnerability.
Mm.
And China is going to tame the disorderly internet.
Yes, not with a carrot, but a stick.
Yes, with a big stick.
As is usual, I believe, for our friends over in China.
Yeah. Now, because we're surrounded by cars,
yes. We
thought we should talk a little bit about automotive technology.
Exactly. So much amazing gadgetry and technology comes out of the automotive industry, as you're always happy to share with us on the show.
So, yeah. So we'll have a look at some new developments there.
Mm.
And a little bit later on, we're going to look at an unusual perk from Facebook and Apple that may raise some eyebrows.
Yes, that's right. Also, is it goodbye for a flash in the pan or something else? Hello,
goodbye. Hello. And remember the days when we used to watch video clips on the internet at 320 by 240 resolution?
Yes, on dial-up, and you'd wait like 5 minutes for a one-minute clip to load.
Well, Netflix are looking at 4K.
Wow.
And Apple was busy talking about announcements this week.
They sure were, but they've been pretty busy over at Mountain View as well, so Google has released a couple of good things as well.
So lots to talk about. Now, don't forget, you can still call us on 1300-JOY-949 and leave a message.
Absolutely. You can send us an email on air at joy.org.au.
Or an SMS at 0419-JOY-949.
0427-JOY-949, is that?
Yeah, that's the one.
My mistake. I don't know who's got that other number, but they might get a bit of a surprise.
Now, to our Facebook friends.
That's right. We had some new likes today. Particular hellos to Stephen, Stacey, Eric and a couple of others who didn't leave their names, but we do appreciate you anyway, wherever you are.
Exactly.
Now, you can like us as well on social media. Just search for us, TechNogaze. That's how you'll find us on the Twitters, on the Facebooks, on pretty much anywhere where we've got a presence.
Okay. Google SSL. They've discovered a new SSL bug. Yet another one.
They have. SSL 3, which is kind of getting a bit long in the tooth now. Now, that vulnerability they've called Poodle, which stands for Padding Oracle on Downgraded Legacy Encryption.
How long did it take for them to come up with that, do you think?
It just is so contorted. Now, it says Padding Oracle. Of course, it's important to point out it's not Oracle capital O, the company. A Padding Oracle is part of cryptography. It's something that, like how in an email you always say, oh, hi, Michael, blah, 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 from Raina, or whatever, kiss.
Mm.
Right. Hugs. If you're in the habit of making those things all the time, then it's easier for someone to decrypt your messages if they know that you always say the same thing at the start.
Yep.
So Padding Oracle puts in some junk to sort of, you know, help make those things a little bit less easy to guess about. Slightly related to that. Now, it's 18 years old, this technology.
And we're still using it?
Well, we probably wouldn't be. So it's been long and well replaced by TLS 1, TLS 1.1, 1.2. There's even a new version, but what's happened is SSL3, of course, is the only thing or the latest thing that is supported by Internet Explorer 6, that old zombie.
Which is still hanging around.
Still hanging around. Look, if people are happy to disable SSL3, knowing that it might mean that there is no more support for IE6...
I'm sure there'll be lots of developers that would be happy to de-support IE6 on their websites.
Any excuse to not have to put up with IE6 anymore. Now, Firefox will be disabling that in their browser next month, although you can do it now. Jump online and have a look at Firefox.
Search, yep.
Chrome will be doing that very, very soon. Microsoft have issued a bulletin, so... when you see your little software update thing pop up that says you've got some critical updates, always read them very carefully. You'll find that one of those is for Poodle.
Right.
Poodle.
Poodle. Now, China is attempting to tame the disorderly internet.
So they say.
Because they don't like people that post on the internet for money.
Right. They don't like that. Although they do, in fact, employ their own people on the internet for money who are paid specifically to spread the party line.
The Wu Mao.
And to guide public opinion in that loving sort of way.
That's nice of them. And, that's good.
Yeah. But when private companies do that, of course, they see that as a bit disorderly and not very cool. So they're going to be squashing that pretty firmly. Now, we do know that China are big fans of keeping their eye on what's going on and making sure that they keep people in line. So.
And these new rules also apply to supposedly famous people.
Yes. So
they have to be careful what they say in public.
That's all right. It's not the most free place to be.
That's right. You are, of course, with Raina and Michael on TechnoGaze, and we're live from Mercedes-Benz Berwick, and this is Joy 94.9.
You're with Raina and Michael on TechnoGaze, live from Mercedes-Benz Berwick on Joy 94.9.
Yeah, and we thought, seeing that we're amongst all of this automotive stuff, we'd talk about cars.
There is so much automotive stuff to look at, by the way, and plenty of customers around here checking things out and stuff. Yeah. Maybe you could come and join them.
We could.
You could at that. Now, car stuff, let's talk about it.
I have a question for you.
Do you?
What is better than an electric car, an electric motor in a car?
An electric motor in lots of cars? No.
Two motors.
No way.
Yeah.
Two motors in one car. This is the Tesla D.
Tesla D, which stands for dual motor.
Yes.
And what they've got is they've got a motor on each axle.
Wow.
Which controls the torque independently of the front and rear wheels.
And you would kind of need quite a lot of control over that because this this car, it needs to be super grippy because it can go from, like, what to 100?
0 to 100 in 3.4 seconds.
What?
Can you imagine taking off the light? Not that we encourage that, of course.
No.
We shouldn't do that.
Oh, my goodness. My stomach would probably be left back at the lights. Sounds amazing, though.
The thing that I really like about this, it's got this autopilot feature.
Autopilot.
Yeah, so it's got a series of radars and cameras and ultrasonic sensors all around the car that will sense, you know, if anybody's close. And it's also got electronic assist braking. And it comes with software that's going to be upgradable. So over time, they're going to improve the performance and the feature set that autopilot will do.
Okay.
So what they're looking at is to have the ability for the car to come and pick you up, a concierge service.
The car by itself to come and pick you up.
Yeah, so you could have it parked in your garage.
Yep.
You turn it on, you know, a few minutes to heat the seats before you want to get into it. You say, car, come fetch, and it will drive out of the garage into the front of your house and pick you up.
That is astonishing.
Mm.
Now, we've talked a lot about self-driving cars, and, you know, they've kind of been, you know, these tiny little, you know, little... I don't know, Google's got one that I love because it looks like a teddy bear or something.
Yes.
And you know, it sort of potters around. But this thing is an actual speed demon, isn't it?
Mm.
Absolutely massive. Look, Tesla are doing so many amazing things with cars. It's worthwhile checking out. I mean, lots of people are doing great things with cars. Geez, there's some good-looking stuff around here.
And there's heaps and heaps of technology embedded in these cars. And the really good thing is that, you know, the technology that starts off in the high-end vehicles tend to work their way all the way down into the low-end vehicles. So, you know, 20
exactly.
years ago, nobody except high-end cars had electric windows, and now everybody's got electric windows.
Right, and GPS is just so common that, you know, I mean, you've got it built into practically every device that you carry now rather than just, you know, in a car with an expensive unit.
That's right.
Amazing. What else is going on car-wise?
GM.
General Motors.
They have made a very wise decision, I think.
What's that?
They've decided they're in the car business and not the software business.
Right, because a lot of car companies have done that. You know, they've sort of gone, yeah, we're going to develop our own dashboard and stuff, but, and, you know...
Yeah, it doesn't work, does it?
Well, even when it does work, I think that software companies generally kick butt most of the time with developing software. That's kind of their thing. So they are going to be relying more on Apple and Google's car offerings.
Exactly, yeah.
So CarPlay and Android in car?
Android, I think it's Android in car.
I don't know a lot about it, I'm sorry.
Android Auto.
Android Auto. Elgato, excuse me.
Yeah, so they originally thought they were going to write their own apps, which would have meant that, you know, there's, for instance, Spotify app, they would have had to write their own version for their own vehicle, and they would have to write their own Pandora and everything else.
Right, and when everybody, and you know, who's picking up a car like that probably has a smartphone or a tablet or something anyway, why bother?
And why also have, consumers complain about, well, why is it taking so long to get the latest version and everything else?
Yeah, exactly. Why worry about it? Now, but they will be building a couple of apps, though, that will sort of help tap into things that are specific to the vehicle and do things like send maintenance information off and even unlock the door. Amazing.
Which is great. Can you? Because there's nothing worse than fumbling for your keys as you run into the car in the wet.
That's right.
When you can unlock it beforehand.
That's right. Exactly right.
Yeah. And that's, you know, one of the strengths of Android Autoplay and Apple's CarPlay is that, yes, of course you can have all of these apps, but it doesn't integrate with the vehicle because the vehicle's very specific. So that's why GM's going to write these special bits of software that you can get for both of those systems.
Sure,
so
but stuff like Spotify and everything that you've probably got anyway, why worry?
And what I do like about GM's choice is they've gone with both Android and Apple.
Yes.
Because otherwise you start to limit your selection of car based on your phone.
Right, or your phone based on your car, which no one wants that.
No.
Now, one of my favourite things to hear about is heads-up displays.
Yes.
Heads-up displays. They look cool. They sound cool. I feel like I'm in Star Wars or something like that. Whenever
and they
I...
are so useful.
Amazing. Now, of course, it's not like... I mean, I actually don't drive a car at the moment, so I don't have a heads-up display to worry about. But you know what? Like, you know, you kind of feel like you're in a bit of a game or whatever. But check this out. This is this thing called Navdi.
Right.
And they have just raised $6.5 million for its in-car display for your phone. So it actually runs off your phone, not built into your car. Right. Now, there are a couple of cars actually right here in the building with heads-up displays, and I'm sure that one of the gentlemen or ladies here in charge of it will be happy to show you how they all work. But Navdi, which you can look up, N-A-V-D-Y, you can check them out. They've got some videos and things about how their thing works. It's kind of like Google Glass for your car is how they're kind of pitching themselves.
Now, they're an aftermarket supplier, so you can put it into any car.
Pretty much, yeah. And it interacts with all of your phone stuff as well. So you were talking before about how, you know, the highfalutin stuff, you know, trickles down to your more sort of middle and lower range cars. But if you absolutely can't wait, why not use your phone to do it?
And, you know, it's great to have new technology in your car, but the purchase cycles between buying cars is much longer than phones. So this is a way to get a heads-up display much earlier.
That's right. Now, they're looking to retail that at about $299 US. That's not coming out until the beginning of next year, so plenty of time to ask Father Christmas if he can leave one under your tree.
Yes.
Maybe, if that's something that you want to do.
Now, Tesla are doing something with the batteries.
That's right. Back to Tesla. So thinking about, you know, obviously they're electric cars. One of the things that's kind of important to remember about an electric car is that when you run out of go juice, you need to pull over and recharge.
Time for a long coffee.
Time for a very long coffee or a nice lunch break or something. I mean, if you're planning to do that anyway, and a lot of the Teslas get a pretty reasonable amount of range. Hydrogen cars as well don't take so long to recharge.
Yep.
Because it's just fuel, right?
Yes.
With the battery thing, you know, you kind of got to plug it in, you've got to do some stuff. Tesla has been obviously wanting to speed up that process a little bit, and there are a couple of reasons for that.
Yep.
One is that it is a bit more convenient, and the other one is because it actually helps them out tax-wise, and I'll explain why. So they've been coming out with these battery swap stations. They've been kind of talking about doing it for a while, but they're really sort of starting to rev them up. So rather than just, you know, having to wait around, just drive in, pull the battery out, pop a new one in, and off you go.
Oh, okay. So it was because the batteries tend to be like this big tray of batteries, so there'd be some system of pulling it out and replacing it with a fresh set.
Tesla is going to do this with robots. Robots. How cool is this? Now, they've been delayed a little bit with the implementation because I guess there's quite a lot going on. They've been building that huge factory in Nebraska that they actually use to manufacture batteries. So I guess they've been doing a few things. The other thing that's worthwhile knowing, in the state of California, which I think is where they're based, you get zero emission vehicle credits, which are kind of like carbon credits in that they...
These are the tax breaks you're talking about.
These are kind of like tax breaks. And what they've been doing is they get all these zero-emission vehicle credits, which they've then been selling their excess to other vehicle manufacturers to make a bit of coin, which is how they finally actually cut a profit. Now, the laws in California have just been adjusted so that the Model S, which takes quite a while to charge, isn't doing it fast enough for them to be eligible. So they are pretty keen to get these things in place so that they can start getting those tax bennies again.
And I think it's going to really help with the adoption of electric vehicles because one of the big problems is, yes, you want to go and refill fairly quickly. You don't want to take 15, 20 minutes or half an hour even to get a charge up. So if you can do it within just 2 or 3 minutes,
exactly,
it would be really good. Actually, it would be like an F1 race, wouldn't it?
You know
the
what?
The pit crew...
Oh, can you imagine a little robot going... Vroom. It's probably not quite that quick, although they're saying that it takes about half the time that it would take you to get a conventional vehicle and fill it with conventional fuel.
That's good.
That is amazing. And you know what else? If you've got a robot doing it, then finally we can go back to the days where someone actually comes to you rather than you having to get out and do it yourself.
Well, something comes to you.
That's right. Happy robot.
Rather than someone.
Oh, that will be pretty amazing. So, look, there's loads of stuff going on with car technology at the moment. And all the time, I mean, and geez, like we're right here in a Mercedes-Benz dealership, and Mercedes-Benz do a fair amount of that sort of thing.
They do, and we encourage everyone to come down, say hello to us, and check out some of the cars.
That's exactly right. We're at 518 Princes Highway, Berwick. That is, I think it's 20-odd minutes away from the Burnley Tunnel, so it's actually quite an easy little drive.
Great on the freeway.
Absolutely, fang it down the freeway. There's lots to be getting on with. I think there's even some burgers and things out the front, so, you know, it's a little...
I did smell something nice.
It is. It's a little bit more plush than a sausage sizzle. There's two coffee machines. Amazing. Little biscuits, all kinds of things going on, and, of course, you can look at our lovely faces and see some radio being made. How cool is that?
It'd be great. We want to see our fans.
Fantastic. It is 23 minutes past midday here on Joy 94.9. You're with Rainer and Michael on Techno Goes live from Mercedes-Benz Berwick. I'm Joy.
This is Joy 94.9, and this is Techno Gaze. And in the showroom with me is Raina.
That's right, in the Mercedes-Benz Berwick showroom.
Yes, I was going to go through every other person's name in the room, but we'll be here for a while.
Yes,
there are lots of people.
There are tons of people here, and there's coffee to be had. There's even a bit of catering going on, and of course, so many gorgeous, gorgeous cars to look at. How nice!
Yes.
How nice is this?
Now we're here because it's Spring Carnival.
It is. Hey.
And Mercedes-Benz Berwick have got the special going on at the moment that if you purchase and take delivery of any passenger vehicle in stock between October 3 and 27, you'll receive a double pass to join Mercedes-Benz Berwick in an exclusive marquee on Stakes Day in the Winning Post.
Fantastic! And you'll also get 3 years of complimentary scheduled servicing for your car so that it's in tip-top condition.
So I think it should be enough to come down here just to see us, but come down here and have a look at some cars as well.
Absolutely. Come and see some radio. And we've even got a couple of little Joy giveaways as well. We've got some cool little phone wallets. So you can, if you're not in your Mercedes-Benz, you might be taking your train somewhere. You can chuck your Mikey in the back or put your work touch card or something like that
there. I heard we're going to give Josh to somebody.
We're going to give away Josh, our producer, one night only by special request. He'll cook, he'll clean, he'll buy you pizza. Amazing.
I'm pretty sure, guys, I didn't actually agree to that, so just want to strike that one from the record.
We'll expunge it from the podcast.
Yes. Now, you know who else is here as well? So Pete from Cravings is here. The fellas from Fender Bender are almost here as well. So we've got loads more coming in.
All the way to 3 o'clock?
All the way till 3 o'clock. That's exactly right. Back to the tech talk, though.
Yes, Apple. Now, Apple, and Facebook have expanded some of their perks to their employees.
That's right. So for their employees. Now, as you know, in the United States, quite a lot of the time, your health cover is actually taken on by the company
employer,
that you work for. So that's one of the benefits that you get. One of the benefits that you get if you work at Facebook or Apple is that if you're a uterus haver, if you've got a couple of ovaries...
a uterus holder.
If you're the holder of a fine uterus and it's in reasonable working condition and you would like to freeze your eggs, they'll help you pay for that now.
Now, strikes me as being a bit unusual.
It is a little bit unusual because it's quite a...
it's expensive, isn't it?
It can be expensive, that's right. Mm. And, I mean, a lot of women would love to, you know... I mean, it usually works better if you have children before you're 35.
Yep.
After that, things in your body start being, like, a bit less reliable in terms of conceiving. So, but, of course, a lot of women are not ready yet to start a family straight away. They may be thinking, well, you know, maybe I want to work for a few more years or I'm doing postgrad or whatever. So what this allows you to do is you can freeze your eggs, right? And then later on you can...
reclaim them.
Reclaim them, that's exactly right. Get them fertilised, etc.
So, you know, a lot of these tech companies are known for offering things like, you know, meals and massages, and they'll have a bus to pick you up from work and stuff like that.
Yes.
So I guess they're just trying to attract more people. In some ways, it's quite good because what it means is that they're recognising the contribution and the value of women in the workforce.
Well, that's exactly right. And, I mean, if you're a cis fellow, then you are probably not on the same timeline as women as regards when you would like to start a family.
Yes.
Because your little swimmers last a bit longer. But also, traditionally, it's a much easier for men to only take a little bit of time off while mum stays home, if that's what you're doing.
Yep.
look, I'm of two minds about this, right? Like, and I'm a woman, so, you know, I think about women's health and stuff on occasion. You know, I think it's really good that something that could be really positive and really useful is being offered to women.
Yes.
You know, because it's quite expensive. It's $15,000 or $20,000 a throw to do that at the moment, which is not a small amount of change. Mm. That is actually quite a big deal. On the other hand, I'm always a little sceptical when a company says, we are going to help you stay at your desk longer. Because yes. These massages and, you know, like on-campus things, yeah, they're convenient, but it's like, you never have to leave. Google will pick you up in your bus from go to woe, and you never have to leave campus, and you never have to be far away from work.
Yeah.
And, you know, you kind of wonder, well, is this the sort of message that it's sending? It's like, women, don't have children on your schedule, have children later.
Yeah, and I wonder if that's going to put some extra pressure on some people.
Right. Like, look, there are plenty of women who do want to have children later. There are women who want to have children earlier. Look, it's all part of a number of different things that both of these companies do around fertility and around parenting generally.
Yes.
So there's plenty to go on in that package, and they really are trying to be helpful. But it's worthwhile thinking about. And you know, the more people are conscious of, you know, that work-life balance in these companies, the more tech companies you can see kind of doing that.
Yeah. So we'll see if it's just going to be Facebook and Apple, or if it's going to go a little bit further than that.
Mm. Now, if you're not a fan of Facebook lately, you might have turned your attention to a new social, or a slightly newer social network called Elo.
Yes, the one that is very privacy concerned and have said quite categorically is that we're not going to accept money from advertisers because this is a compromise to your privacy and your security.
That's right. And something that made them really popular is when Facebook were running around before going, you know what, all you drag performers and things
you're
like that. You're not real people, so we want you to use your real names. Or, you know, oh, you're not fully out in your community? Too bad. You need to start using your real name or hiding your identity, etc. So a lot of people in our community were going, oh, Elo, you know, checking that out. And, you know, for a while there, everyone was running around going, oh, who wants an Elo invite? Oh, rah, rah, rah. What's going on?
Well, the Guardian newspaper have used Google Trends. Have you used Google Trends before?
I have looked at Google Trends.
Google
it's
Trends
really
is
clever.
Great. If you type in the URL trends.google.com, you can then type in some search words, and it will tell you how many people are actually searching for those words on Google globally, within your region, within your country, even down to the city level.
Right. Like if you search for joy, for example, you can see, you know, who's searching for joy. Not surprisingly, mostly in Australia.
Australia, yes.
A lot of Melbourne people, of course,
yeah.
And elsewhere as well. Now, Elo. People were searching for Elo and kind of falling just as sharply.
Yeah, so I think it was the last week of September, their searches started to rise, and they peaked at the end of September, and they've fallen just as quickly as they've risen.
Yeah.
But they are still higher than what they were before, mid-September.
Yeah, look, it's interesting. There's been a few bits of commentary about Elo. Like, people have been complaining about the design, the user interface. Quite a lot of people are sceptical, going, well, if you're not charging us and you're not getting money, well,
how are you going to survive?
What's the catch?
Yeah.
Are you gonna collapse one day with all of my personal thoughts in it, or you know, my connection to my friends? And it's so hard to get out of that Facebook ecosystem. Let's be real.
Well, once you've got a group of friends there, if you don't have the same friends over at Elo, then you sort of wonder, well, why am I doing it in two places?
Exactly. Not everyone is necessarily inclined to that. Look, we'll see what happens to Elo in the future. If you are on Elo, maybe write in or jump on our Facebook page. We don't have an Elo page.
I wonder if Facebook will take down those posts.
I wonder if we should get an Elo page.
We should try.
We should think about it.
We have to find somebody who can invite us.
Let us know if you want us to get one.
Now, the interesting thing about Google Trends was it showed that the Danes, the Greeks and the Norwegians were the most interested people in Elo from a Google search perspective.
Now, I can't remember off the top of my head, but is that in fact, I think it is a European company anyway, isn't it?
Good question.
Not
could
sure.
Be.
Facebook is not always the most popular entity in Europe, as we've often reported. Europe is where they are most concerned about privacy and security and not locking people in. So it's possible that that you know there's a bit of a Europe bias away.
Yeah. Now Netflix. To change topic totally. Netflix started out life in the US.
Yes.
As a DVD hire store where you could basically order a DVD online and they'd post it to you, and the next day you'd get the DVD player and then you'd put it back in the mail.
That's right.
And then they moved into streaming.
They did, and they did such a good job of that. They really took advantage of that.
Mm.
they're now going to, and they've started producing their own content.
They have, things like House of Cards.
Orange is the New Black.
Yes.
And what they've committed to is all of their new content from now on is going to be filmed and broadcast in 4K.
Amazing.
Which is better than HD.
It is much better than HD. Well, it's exactly twice as tall and wide as HD. Isn't that the case?
Yeah,
about that. Pretty close.
Ultra HD is the nickname for 4K.
Oh, right. Ultra HD.
Ultra HD.
Super duper. Now, they, of course, are doing that so that they can help future-proof their content so that when we're all rocking these 4K TVs, which are starting to come out and they're starting to slowly reduce in price, we'll all have the ability to see that in the best definition that we can get.
Because that's always one of the problems with a new technology like 4K. Brilliant, I've got the panel there that can display 4K, but I've got nothing to put on it.
Yeah.
So I guess Netflix are hoping that a whole lot of people are going to say, oh, I've got 4K, I've got Netflix in my country, because they are expanding to a number of countries not here yet, and we'll then choose a Netflix subscription.
I'm trying to imagine what it would be like to watch House of Cards in the highest of high def.
It may not be complimentary.
You'd see every little wrinkle and pore on Kevin Spacey's nose. I don't know how I feel about that, to be honest.
This is, luckily, they're not going to bring TechnoGaze out in 4K when you webstream one day.
That's right. Glorious, glorious high definition. Hey, you're with Arena and Michael on TechnoGaze, live from Mercedes-Benz Berwick on Joy 94.9.
TechnoGaze.
You're with Raina and Michael on TechnoGaze, live from Mercedes-Benz Berwick on Joy 94.9.
Yay!
Yay.
Lots of people milling about, lots of people eating food.
Oh, delicious free food. And, of course, a whole complement of Joy people are here checking it all out, and of course, some beautiful cars.
Yeah.
Oh, Raina, I've got my eye on at least one.
Which one?
There's a really nice silver grey V8 sitting right here. It's got some hot-looking brakes. I don't know much about it, but it looks pretty plush.
I think there's somebody around who you might have to arm wrestle for that one.
Yeah, I might have to argue with Andrew, our program director, for the time being.
Yes. Now, tell me, did you go to sleep early or late on Thursday night?
You know what? I slept all the way through. You are, of course, talking about the Apple announcement, aren't you?
Yes, the big, semi-big Apple announcement.
It was pretty big. Just in case we hadn't had enough Apple announcements this month, they had another one. They said it's been far too long, was their little teaser.
Right.
It's been far too long, they said, which I think was a bit cheeky because the last one was only a few weeks ago, and they announced some amazing new hardware, two new iPads or a couple of new iPads, and the 27-inch iMac has had a massive update.
So the 27-inch iMacs have gone to a Retina 5K screen, so it's better than 4K.
Better than 4K. Take that, Netflix.
Yes. They've touted as the world's highest resolution display out there.
Uh-huh.
And they've got some dedicated circuitry to handle all of these pixels that the computer has to move around.
You mean aside from a video card, which is what we normally handle our pixels with?
They've got extra stuff.
More special or better.
Indeed. That's the technical term. Now, Yosemite was finally released.
Yes, Yosemite. Now, I've been using the Yosemite beta for some weeks now, or beta, if you like to say it that way. And now, finally, it's been released for realsies.
Yes.
And, you know, it's been great to try it out, but, geez, it's good to have the real deal in front of me as well.
Yeah, it's nice when you get off the beta software into something that's going to be tested a little bit more and a little bit more confident with.
In fact, we've both been trying it, haven't we?
No, well, I haven't tried it yet.
I
want to download it, but I'm going away, and it's a bit touch and go whether I should do it before I leave, so I'll do it when I get back, I think.
I reckon... live dangerously. Why not? No, okay. I've been trying it out.
I'll call you when I get
problems. Yeah, now I'm lucky that I've got a couple of computers I can work on, so I thought I would try it out on my laptop because if something terrible happens, no drama. Look, the upgrade was fine. It was a big download. It's free. You don't have to pay for this. This isn't like, you know, Windows 8 or whatever.
And this is the second major upgrade that Apple have released of their operating system that's been free.
Is it the second or the third?
The one three back was for $25, and then they made it after that for nothing, I think. So
Jesus,
it was, very different approach to what Microsoft has done in the past, although that may be changing with Windows 10.
Now, something that is pretty great about this is that it is designed to integrate even tighter with your iOS devices, so your iPads and your iPhones.
Yep.
One of the things that it can do really well is that there's this new thing called handoff.
Yes.
So continuity.
You can go from phone calls from your iPhone, I believe, onto your iPad.
iPad and stuff like that.
Yes, and it has been actually pretty amazing. So, and we've been talking to a few different Joy people about it as well, and Avi from Hide and Seek was saying he got the shock of his life when his iPad rang the other day because someone had called his phone and his iPad, which is a bit closer to him, started ringing instead. And I did a similar thing. So I called a mate and it came up saying, blah, 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 using your iPhone. I'm like, oh, interesting.
That's good.
Interesting. Don't need to worry about being in a hotspot. Now, there's been updates to the iPad as well.
I was a bit underwhelmed by the iPad updates, especially the iPad Mini.
I was not so much, and I'll tell you why. So, yeah. I mean, look, it's been thinner, you know, cheaper, blah, 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 like all the things that you'd expect. It's not, you know, not necessarily a huge change. Touch ID is incorporated into these new iPads. That's really cool. But the thing that I find really fascinating is this new Apple SIM.
Apple SIM?
The Apple SIM. So the Apple SIM card is, rather than going to your carrier of choice and saying, can I have a SIM card to stuff in my iPad to get the data, right? You use the Apple SIM, and what it allows you to do is switch between providers and select a provider and sign up right there using their plans rather than having to go and actually get a SIM card.
So Apple have done deals with Telstra, Optus and Vodafone to support
Not
this?
In Australia yet, although they are doing it in the UK and they are doing it in the US. I'm sure that Australia won't be far away.
Right.
Look, it's a little bit more of a drama in the US, I think. Like in Australia, if you go to one of the major carriers, you bung a SIM card in and you go to the next state, no worries. In the United States, that is a little bit less convenient for you because of the different networks that are available.
Yes.
There's also, I think, a little bit more flexibility over here rather than over there in terms of different plans that you can get on and stuff.
Okay.
Now, it's got massive potential, people are saying, although it's probably... It's not very standard, hey. Like, imagine if you could do that with your phone.
Oh, it'd be wonderful. So the iPad 3 is basically the same hardware, just with Touch ID incorporated. $100 cheaper than with the model with the most memory.
Yes.
The iPad 2 is thinner, is lighter.
Fractionally, but still.
Well, every millimetre counts.
So I've heard.
And it's also cheaper since it's got a faster processor, the A8X processor instead of A7. Now, it wasn't only Apple that was making announcements.
Lollipop, no.
Lollipop, oh, lollipop. That's right, Android Lollipop was released.
You insisted on playing this,
didn't I did
you?
Indeed, because we're not just Fapples over here. So, we're not going to sing. So version 5 does incorporate the new Material Design language.
Right. Now, we've talked about that before. Yep. That's that new sort of look and feel that looks, it looks really lovely, sort of a little bit flat but not. It's sort of got this real lifelike sort of feeling to it and very responsive.
And it's been designed to cope with, you know, a wide-ranging choice of different screen sizes, different resolutions, pixel densities and so on.
That's right, because there is so much diversity out there in the Apple, in the Android ecosystem.
Now, one of the proud things that they've said about this is there's more than 5,000 new APIs for developers. Can you imagine being a developer and trying to get your head around 5,000 APIs?
Right, but it means that it's quite interoperable with lots of different things.
Now, they've launched Now, actually, there's one other thing on here that I do like about it, is it supports multiple user accounts and has a guest user mode.
Oh, that's really good.
Because there's nothing worse than when my 8-year-old nephew picks up my phone and wants to use it.
Play a game.
Yeah, and I just want him to do it in his own little area where he can be contained.
That's right. That's pretty good. I wouldn't want my nephews to if they were big enough to use my phone or if I would ever let it out of my clutches.
Yeah.
Send text messages or
to your
maybe,
friends and things like that.
Or, you know,
post something on Facebook.
Send an all-staff email with some interesting gibberish in there. I don't know.
Could be
anything. So guest mode is pretty good.
So there are two new devices being released. The Nexus 6, which is the 5.96-inch display phone. It's huge.
Yeah, massive.
Now, that's a Motorola phone this time.
I think that's pretty much the definition of phablet, isn't it?
It is a phablet. But bigger is always better when it comes to phones. Now, the other thing that it's got a 13-megapixel front camera, front speakers, and it's got this really good turbocharger that gives you 6 hours battery life with a 15-minute charge cycle.
Amazing.
You might need a caravan to tow it, I'm not sure.
6 hours, though. Is that 6 hours of normal people use or 6 hours of me obsessively refreshing my Instagram feed?
It's probably 6 hours of computer speak use, so
So probably. Still, that's pretty amazing, though. 15 minutes of charging, because you know how it is, right? You're like, oh, geez, I've got to go to a party or whatever, and my phone's nearly dead, and you just try to eke out that last few percent points so that you know, do whatever.
In 15 minutes is pretty good. Now, the Nexus 9 tablet has also come out.
Amazing.
It's an 8.9-inch display.
Mm.
It has got front and rear cameras, fast chip. It's 7.9 millimetres thick. So compared to the iPad Air 2, which is 6.1 millimetres, it's quite, you know, it's quite a deal thicker, but it is 12 grams lighter.
I wonder, is it made of slightly different materials? Would that be helpful?
I don't know.
I would reckon. I mean, if it's thicker, then you'd think it would be heavier, so there must be something else going on. Hey, the Nexus devices are really great because, I mean, if you like all the other devices, they're cool as well. But the Nexus devices are the ones that just have plain old Android. They don't have any of that weird vendor sort of skinning on them. You don't have to have, you know, S this or Galaxy that or, you know, Moto whatever.
And you don't need to wait for your phone company or your
or
manufacturer
else.
To come up with a new version of Android. You get it from Google straight away.
That's right.
Just like Apple iOS.
Yes. So if you had one of those, you'd be among the first to get your hands on some Lollipop.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how the 5.96-inch display feels in your hand.
I think it would feel like a pretty small tablet, let's be real.
Yeah.
Let's be real.
Actually, it's probably good for an ageing population like myself. I won't need my glasses as often.
Isn't the iPhone 6 Plus about that size as well?
5.5 inches. It's 5.5, the 6 Plus.
So it's not that far off. I don't know. I personally think that would be a bit big for me, but again, as a lady, often our pockets are, you know, big enough to hold a chapstick and 50 cents. So Unless you carry a handbag, I do carry one of those. That's pretty good.
Now, I heard something interesting about Google Glass addiction.
Google Glass addiction.
Yep.
Really, a genuine glass hole in the wild.
Yes. Now, this is among some naval servicemen, who one in particular, who checked himself into rehab for alcohol addiction and had to kick his glass habit as well.
Right, because often when you check into a treatment program like that, they get you to sort of, you know, give up other sorts of things.
Addictive,
you might be doing gaming or technology or whatever.
Yeah, he complained about irritability, tics and feelings of withdrawal.
Yes. He was actually... Now, I read the story about this. Now, this is amazing. This fellow was actually sitting there tapping his forehead the way that you do when you're getting ready to talk to glass.
Oh,
without even when it wasn't on, he was having dreams about the heads-up display. He was getting really antsy that it wasn't there. And it's one of the earlier... So the internet addiction disorder is one of the things that's only recently been added to the manual for diagnosis that psychiatrists use.
Yes.
So he apparently is one of the first cases to actually be observed that way.
In some ways, it's not similar to what people have observed with young children, where they get a magazine and they try to scroll up and down the magazine and wondering why nothing works.
It could possibly be because...
It's a repetitive habit.
I guess so. All I can think of is when I was a kid and, you know, just having visions of Tetris blocks trickling down my vision for hours and hours after I'd stopped playing. Tetris vision, amazing. Look, I hope that fella's gotten a bit better. Obviously, they haven't named him or anything like that, so it could be. But it's kind of interesting to hear that that's already happening.
Yeah, and because there isn't a lot of Google Glass out there at the moment.
No, there isn't.
The way of the future.
Indeed.
Guess what?
That's all we have time for.
Yeah, we've run out of time as usual.
Ah, as always.
So don't forget, if you've missed any part of the show, or perhaps you're looking to pursue previous episodes, you can do so by browsing joy.org.au/technogaze.
That's right. You can also subscribe on Stitcher or iTunes.
And, yeah.
Now, there's plenty more, so don't go too far, because we've got Cravings up next, Pete Dillon.
And then we've got the Fender Bender Boys.
Oh, beautiful.
All here at Mercedes-Benz Berwick.
That's right. So if you are in the area, pop on down 518 Princes Highway in Berwick, where there's lots to look at. There's cars, obviously, lots of beautiful
cars,
vans. There's some pre-owned vehicles as well as some shiny new ones, so a little bit of something for different budgets there. Sliders, yummy sliders.
Mm.
It's a little bit more luxy-do than a sausage sizzle, isn't it?
Indeed.
Indeed, and even a coffee machine. You can check that out. Get amongst some caffeine.
Yeah. So we'd love to see you down here.
Yes. Have a look at the Joy people in action, see what radio looks like.
Exactly.
You might be surprised.
We will be back in the usual time slot next week.
That's
right. This is Joy 94.9.
Technogaze on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.